The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan, innovation that excites.
Going to Northumberland now in England, where Sarah Balsdown is a mum of four, and she saw all her kids doing all this snacking, particularly during lockdown. So what did she do? She went and bought a vending machine, which was a sort of effective gateway to control them. And unless they had the coins, they couldn't get the sweet treats. Welcome to the programme, Sarah. Exactly what was the thinking behind this?
Well, I've been thinking about it for a little while because I was sick of keep telling them, no, they can't have it, and them whinging about it and saying you can have one, but they wanted more than one. And they weren't doing their schoolwork and they wouldn't help around the house. So I thought, well, if I can make them do chores and do their schoolwork, then they can earn some money, and then they can get what they want, and then they only have a set amount, so they can't have too many, and there's less arguments this way.
And where did you get the vending machine?
I just got it off Facebook Marketplace. It took us a while to find one that was local enough to go and pick up, but I found one eventually.
And what sort of money do they have to put in to access the sweet treats?
Well, I've just put it at cost price, so it's just like 20 pence for a packet of crisps, and 30 pence for a chocolate bar, just like what I'd buy them for at the shop. So,
and are you not being a bit hard on them?
Well, no, because all of the healthy snacks are still free, so they can have as many carrot sticks, fruit, they can have yoghurt, they can have all that still.
So they can get a celery stick, but they can't get,
they can get
a chocolate bar.
Well, they can, they just can't have five.
Right. And would you give them pocket money?
Yes, they keep their rooms clean and things, they get their pocket money.
Right. And what age are we talking about?
So my youngest is two, then I've got a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old. The 2-year-old doesn't have to keep his room tidy, he doesn't understand.
And for the lockdown, have you found, like a lot of parents, that they've actually been overindulging on the snacks out of boredom even?
Definitely. I think it's just because they're around them more. So if they go into the kitchen for a drink, they automatically open the cupboard. They're like, Mammy, can I have this? Mammy, can I have that? So I think it's just with them being in the house, not really bored, but just they're there. Whereas they're normally be at school all the days through the week. So they haven't got the temptation there because it's not on hand.
And what sort of money would you give them, like for making their bed or cleaning their room?
I would probably say they'd get 50 pence.
Oh, big-hearted Arthur. Right, you're breaking the bank with that one. And then, so you're charging them for the sweet treats, and they're on minimum wage then when it comes to... And how have they responded?
Well, at first they thought I was really mean, and they said that me and my husband, so they had to have like mummies and daddies treats in as well, so we had to do the same, which was fine, we did that. They thought it was mean at first, and then they kind of came around the idea. My eldest, they're not normally allowed pop, you see, so she was like, well, mummy, I'm going to spend my money on pop because you don't let me have pop. So she thinks it's a good idea now.
And what about the simple word no?
Well, it just gets tedious when you're saying it all the time. So if you take temptation out the way, you don't have to say it as much, because I just feel like a broken record saying it over and over. And then they're like, but please, mummy. And it just goes on and on and on. Whereas this way, they know that they need their money for the machine to work. And to get their money, they have to complete their schoolwork and they have to do their chores.
All right.
Chores, so it's nothing too hard. So like my youngest, he'll take the milk bottles out for the milkman coming to collect, and my 5-year-old, he'll like wipe the benches down, he'll dust a bit. The girls will do the dishwasher, like the oldest ones, they'll do things like that. But it's nothing huge, it's just...
So you could, why draw the line? You could put them out to service, get to clip the neighbour's hedges and start making a nice little earner out of the whole thing. All right, well, look, we're going to put it out to the listeners and get expert opinion on this. It certainly is a novel approach. Sarah Balsdown, a Geordie, as you've heard there, thank you indeed for telling us your story. Quite innovative. So 531 0818 106 106. Do you find, as a parent, that kids are snacking a lot more? Is obesity becoming a problem? We heard before from Gay Godkin about the COVID stone, as in the stone weight that we're all putting on with the lockdown. But let's get professional opinion now. The clinical director of the Therapy Institute and author of Parenting the Screenager. Who better to talk to than Richard Hogan? What's your reaction to what Sarah has done?
Good afternoon, Ivan. How are you? Yeah, I think it's a very interesting and novel approach to it. I don't think your listeners are going to run out and buy a vending machine now, to be honest. But I think, you know, for young children moving into adolescence, it's very important that they get an understanding of the value of money. And also, as you said there, you know, our grocery bills, say, for March went up 43% comparably to last March. So a lot of, say, empty calories have been coming into the house. And I've noticed it myself, the parents contacting me, that their children, as you said, they're, you know, living a more sedentary lifestyle. And now they're eating more. So there is a bit of weight going on. And as parents, I suppose we have to make sure that we're watching that.
Now, you know, the simple answer is, if they're gorging themselves on snacks, is to say no. Is it that parents now, modern day parents, are finding incapable of saying the simple, direct, negative no?
I think you're absolutely right, Ivan. It's something that I talk about a lot. I think a colliery from the way we were reared, let's say, in the 70s and 80s, where we might have seen ourselves as, you know, having less. And then when we became parents ourselves, you know, as a backlash to that, we started giving in to our children, giving them more. And then we started to really develop this erroneous idea that when you say yes, you're showing your love for your child. And it's actually, it's contrary. It's a paradox. The more you give your child, the less happy they will be, because the child who gets everything really enjoys nothing. And you see it there. When I've got three daughters myself, and you go to parties and you see the kids who have got this message from parents that everything will be, that their every whim will be satiated, and they're utterly unhappy. And I also see it then moving into adulthood with couples when they come into the therapeutic door, and perhaps the woman in the relationship has to reparent the man because he has been overparented, and he was told, you know, through his childhood that you can get everything, anything you want, you can get it, and he's come to develop this unrealistic idea about life.
Right, and. Therefore, you the disciplines that they earn pocket money, or,
yeah,
or do they get pocket money?
I think they earn pocket money. I think it's very important. As a family, I always say, you know, a healthy family allows you to be a part of it and separate from it. But when you're a part of it, you have to be involved in the chores. It can't rest on someone's one person's shoulders. And what I would say, what I've noticed over the last 2 months, Ivan, with COVID, is that women were taking on an incredible amount of responsibilities. And the children in the family, because they were all locked in and they're all together, weren't, you know, meeting the responsibilities that they should have had placed on them as well. And it's inequity never breeds contentment, it breeds resentment. And I think your children, to get treats and to get money to go out with their friends, they need to earn it, because, you know, we all have to go out there and earn our money. So it's just setting them up for a realistic, being able to navigate the adult world as they move into it.
But do people get pocket money now? I mean, like, I remember when I was at that age, 8 or 9, we used to get a half a shilling a week,
yeah,
or something on a,
yeah,
Tuesday.
I would say it's not as prevalent as it used to be.
Right.
Yeah, I think because there's probably more money there. And I think that idea that we talked about by giving in to your child. And when you think about your child, you know, I often deal with tantrums with parents who come into me with tantrums, and they say, I just can't handle the tantrum, so I give in to them. A tantrum is a very good way of communicating that the child has received the message yes all the time, and that they're launching this nuclear weapon right at the till in the cash register, so, because they know you're going to back down. And you should never back down from your children. You should always meet them with their, you know, with their unrealistic demands. If they expect too much, you need to knock that out, because, as you know, Patrick Kavanagh has a lovely line, through a chink, through wide, there comes no wonder. And when your child gets everything, they lack that wonder, then they don't have that joy. And the gift of parenting is to send them off into the world with a realistic understanding of what that world is, and to be able to experience joy. So I think what that woman is doing is trying to create a sense of that, trying to create a sense that, you know, you need to earn your money first by doing your chores, and then you can buy your reward.
All right. So as well as parenting advice, we got a bit of poetry there. My thanks to Richard Hogan, Clinical Director of the Therapy Institute and author of Parenting the Screenager, coming down firmly on the side of saying no. I'm sure we'll have another Queen of Mean here, herself, Gay Godkin, who's always coming forward in saying what should and shouldn't be done about obesity and eating the right things. Gay, what do you make of this story?
Well, firstly, Ivan, I love that title, Queen of Mean, and right back at you, you boyo yourself. I have a few things to say. First of all, I totally agree with Richard, the whole area of self-regulation. And as we know, as adults, being able to regulate ourselves around lifestyle choices, for example, eating, alcohol, exercise, you know, we have to learn that trade-off when we're very, very young. The other thing I would say is food is a gift from nature. It most certainly was never packaged in a vending machine. I think it's giving the wrong message to those children that, you know, at home you can put money into a machine and take these treats out. By all means, if you're going to treat the child, you know, in the shop on a Sunday or whatever the case may be, when you're with them, you help them to make the right choice around that bar of chocolate. Or if you're, you know, if it's the summertime, you're having an ice cream on an outing. But certainly, you know, bringing treats into the house like that is not doing those children any favours. Now, from a health perspective, Ireland is drowning in a sea of glucose. We are consuming buckets of glucose. Glucose is what makes us fat. One in four of our children is obese and overweight. Now, Ivan, what we have learned from the COVID-19 epidemic is that after aging, the single biggest issue that we are facing into and to have very poor health outcomes is the association with excess fat and inflammation. Look at our friend Boris across the sea there, who's actually come out and said himself the reason he was in intensive care was because of his weight. So, you know, we have to get some learnings here. And we have to educate children that food comes out of the ground, it comes out of a tree. You know, for people who eat meat, you know, the chickens make the eggs, the cows give the milk. Mother of God, I mean, vending machines, you know,
bored. The kids are cooped up. It's not their fault. They need a little sugary something. I mean, you know, you're very harsh, if you don't mind me saying so, Guy.
But you're the same, Ivan. I mean, if you're bored, how many bottles of wine at night would you have?
Well, I'm trying to restrict myself to two. Those are just the nights I'm on television now. But the point about it is that the texters are actually agreeing with Richard. Heard it all now, says Margaret in Cork. If you can't say no to children, stop buying sweets. Sarah could have saved on buying the vending machine. When will parents start being adults? Someone else says, this is a pathetic story, read the vending machine. If the mother can't say no, she should not have sweets in the house. So you're for a total ban, are you, Gay Godkin?
No, I'm saying, Ivan, you know, you rock up with type 2 diabetes in your 20s or fatty liver. I mean, how much fatty liver have we got in this country? And you sit down with somebody, or when I see somebody sitting in front of me or virtually at the moment, you know, the amount of young women with fatty liver in their 30s, all associated, sorry, causality from excess glucose, excess treats, excess shoveling food. Food frequency, as I said a couple of weeks ago to you, you know, we need to eat three meals a day. There's no issue with treating a child for a bar of chocolate or baking a cake or taking them to the shop. But having it on tap at home and expecting that child to self-regulate. The other thing is they will become very manipulative. You know, there's a lot of negative behaviours that child is going to get. And its association with food will not be positive. Because at the end of the day, Ivan, we're trying to make smart food choices, positive food choices and healthy food choices. All treats are not what you put in your mouth.
All right. Well, indeed. Certainly a very stern backlash against kids wanting their snacks. My thanks there to Richard Hogan, to Sarah Balston, who told us the story.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.